So this is God's Names, A Portrait of His Heart. And this is our third week in the series. And our second week, we're going to do part two, or week two, with the name of God, Father of Our Spirits. And I wanted to do a fairly decent sized review this morning because I feel like I really kind of dumped a lot on you last week. I saw myself doing it, and I did it on purpose. But I'm going to try to give you less new today and kind of try to tie some of this together and really put it into a working, applicable way that you can get to know the Father of your spirits, and that what that's going to mean to you is that you're going to have a spirit that is growing and expanding and getting healthier, and you're going to begin to recognize when you're operating out of your spirit and when you're not, you know, which is kind of the point of discipleship, is that we want to learn to apply the truths that are in the Bible, and we don't want to just know them, we want to live them. So that's what I'm going to try to do today. So I'm going to start with what I felt like we looked at the divine design last week, the three parts of us. The spirit is that inmost being, and we said on week one, Psalm 51:6 is the verse that most, to me, represents what we seek to do, what I just said. Is that God's desire, it says, is that we would know truth in our inmost being. And that's our spirit, that middle circle that we hope to expand and grow. That, and we said that's our worship center, that's our communication center, that's our receiver for all those spiritual blessings that God wants to give us. So that is crucial that we understand that's how we connect with God, spirit to spirit, His Holy Spirit to our human spirit, and that's the richest and deepest human relationship we can experience, is our spirit connecting to the spirit of another believer. So that's, we covered that, and then we did what I felt like was really important, and that is look at the continuum of God's, we used Psalm 100, verse 4, and that is a wimpy marker. Let's go to brown, which is a fall color. Oh, yes, that's working for me. And it's matching my outfit. Okay, so we got Thanksgiving. My abbreviation is TKG. And we saw that the Greek word for Thanksgiving is Eucharistio, and we circled the C-H-A-R-I-S, and we said joy. That's what the Greek word for joy is, that joy is found in Thanksgiving. You're having yourself a bumpy day, having yourself a bad hair day, having yourself a bad mood day, having yourself a hormone day. This is a place that you can go. This is, and we said this is where the battle is, and we quoted Isaiah. Does anybody remember that reference? Somebody remember it? Is it 27 or 26?
28:6.
28:6. Thank you, Martha. Okay, so the battle is here at the gates. Enter the gates of Thanksgiving. And then into His courts. So Thanksgiving's the gates. Going deeper is praise. Praise the Lord. PTL. And so let's take this and apply it to what we're studying about God as the Father of our spirits. It told us in Hebrews 12. That, okay, so I'm going to have to look at what I wrote down. Let me get my paper over here. Oh, yeah, this is so good. Okay, so I'm going to thank God for all the fatherly things He's done for me and the verse that He gave me to go with that. And let me just pause and say, I am a big verse girl. That is God's primary love language to me. And I want to just tell you, we're about to start talking about blessed eyes and blessed ears. It's going to look unique on every individual. So before I say another word, let me just tell you, don't freak out that I have 16 Bible verses on my paper in one day, because that is God's love language to me. And I've learned to develop some of these other love languages. I've learned to receive from Him in different ways and in the different modes and everything. But that's required practice on my part. When I get to that weak, snivelly place where I just need something, you know what He always does for me? He gives me a Bible verse. Because that He can get that to me better than anything else. That may not be y'all's. So that is my disclaimer on everything I'm going to say for the rest of the year. Know that about me. I just happen to be the teacher, but there's going to be four or five or six people in your room that are going to do it their unique way with Jesus. And there's that the reason we share in the big group is so you can hear their unique way that they do it. Okay, so he talked to me in a Bible verse. And what it says is this. Deuteronomy 1:31. I see how you, the Lord, carried us as a father all the way we went until now. I thought, oh, how do you not love a God like that? How sweet, Lord. That just quieted me. I thought, yes. All I can thank you. I can get busy thanking you for all the ways you've carried me. I could spend the rest of my day doing that. I don't have time to do that all day. But it really got me over whatever that was. So I went from all the ways that I'd seen God that I was so thankful for to, oh, he is good. Father, Lord, I praise you that you're a good father. You're so faithful. You're so good. You're so, all the things I saw. So that, we're praising him for who he is versus what he's done. And that's a deeper thing. Then we go from there to worship. And we said worship is just simply a response of what we see and as valuable. It's an expression of worth. That's a kind of a root in there of worship. And so we said that we are the sacrifice. These two are sacrifices. It says in Scripture. Worship is a response. Is that right? Sometimes I get going so fast I don't see myself. Anyway, so worship, we use the verse Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I wanted to mention the two part today. We didn't really say two last time, but we sang two today. That you would, in light of everything God's done, the whole thing of salvation, justification, sanctification, holiness, heaven, all he's done, in light of all of that, therefore, present your bodies, or present your lives, it said in the translation we look at, as a living sacrifice. And that's just the only reasonable response you can have. I mean, when you really do this, it's going to be, ooh, it's going to come up as a byproduct and an overflow of that. It's going to be a response. So we give our lives to him. And so, verse 2 says, so that we may prove that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And you know, that is, we get back over here, and there is an element of that. I mean, that's the sacrifice. And I wanted to kind of just speak to that just a minute, to this element of sacrifice that God's asking for, because really there's sacrifice in all three of those. And Jesus modeled a life of sacrifice, so that shouldn't be a big surprise to us. But I wanted to say that when everything in your world, when everything in your line of vision, when everything in your heart, when everything in your emotions is saying, but God, those are the moments when it costs us the most to make a sacrifice of thanksgiving and worship, and thanksgiving and praise and worship. And so to come in the face of what Satan is saying to you and what your emotions are saying to you and what your mind is saying to you, y'all, that's where the victory is won. That's where faith is exerted. That's God is so pleased with that, because what you're saying is, we said one of the highest expressions of worship is trust. You're saying, Lord, I trust what you've said more than what I'm feeling. So I'm going to say, whether my daddy would have done it that way or not, I'm going to say you're a good father and that your will for me is good, acceptable, and perfect. And I'm going to stand on that and I'm going to praise you for being that, whether I feel like it or not. And you know, I'll be helped when I do it. Now, I may have to come back until my emotions catch up, because they're the last things to catch up. Until my emotions catch up, I may have to repeat that process on a daily basis. It may take me months to get to the place where it's just settled in my heart. But it's a really worthwhile process. So that's my review for today. I wanted to mention, you see in Scripture, for whatever reason, I wanted to say that worship, we talked about it being to bow low, which is the sacrifice part, to get your kiss from God there. It means in the New Testament, the word means kiss. And we talked about how we are to prepare the way for that, just like we would for date night. But I wanted to say this about that, that kind of connects both of those, is that you see David writing about the secret place, that you go to your secret place and it's a safe place. It's that place we go. It's that spirit-to-spirit connecting place. And I believe that's what's pictured in worship. And I wanted to share with you just one verse about the secret place. And it's kind of like saying, we sang this today, and I know this is something that I have to remind myself a lot of. I'm not alone. He is with me right now. He is near. If I draw near to him, he will draw near to me. I am loved. And I loved the way, one of the reasons we sang that song, Good, Good Father, today is because it gave us a chance to rehearse about 50 times. You're a good, good father, God. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. Because that's who you are, that's who I am. That's just, those two go together. And the verse that I wanted to share that blessed me so much in doing my, what I call spiritual gymnastics, getting on the mat, doing my spiritual gymnastics, and getting to a better place was Psalm 27, 4 and 5. And this is from the Voice translation, and it says, I am pleading with God for this one thing, my soul's desire, to live with him all of my days, in the shadow of his temple, to behold his beauty, to ponder his ways in the company of his people. It is there that I find peace. In the midst of the storm and the turmoil, safety sits with me in the hiding place of God. He will set me on a rock above the fray. Don't we all need a place like that to go? So I thought that was a really cool way to kind of sum that up. Okay, I want to talk today about spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. So we talked about we have that spirit. And we have the capacity to connect there. And so let's do that. There's a verse that I remember learning early in my journey to know the Lord in a more intimate way that has been so huge in my journey. It's turned into a prayer that is literally probably off my lips at least once a day, if not many more. And it's Matthew 13, 16 and 17. It says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. God has given us, we are born again. We are made to operate inside out. We are made to operate from that spirit being. And our spirit has the capacity to see, to behold God, like we've talked about. And just like the prayer that we sang in the song, Be Thou My Vision, that's the same thing as saying, just kind of to me in a little bit cooler lingo, is to say, God, will you bless my eyes? Will you bless the eyes of my heart? Will you bless my spiritual eyes? And when we're doing that, what we're basically saying is, we want to be present to God. We want to be tuned in. We want to be on his frequency. We want to pay attention to and be able to recognize what he's doing right here, right now in my presence. And in order for us to do that, I want to talk about two things we need to cultivate. The first one is expectancy. We want to have expectant eyes. And, you know, really, I studied the word faith several years ago, and expectancy is just a synonym for faith, y'all. And we know from Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, that faith pleases God. And I think it blesses his heart for us to trust him. Just like, you know, it blesses you when a friend trusts you or your child trusts you or your spouse trusts you. We know that God says he rewards faith. He's the rewarder of those who seek him. So we can look with expectant eyes. And I love this promise from Matthew 5, 6. Jesus was talking in the Beatitudes, and he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. What that says to me is, you want more? Come on. All you got to do is ask for it. All you got to do is to set your set your mind to an expectant mode. You know, renew your mind, believing, okay, if God is with me and he's never going to leave me or forsake me, then he's right here doing something. I want to be looking for it, and I want to be recognizing it. And here's what we can expect to see. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 2:9 from the NIRV, and it says, "It is written that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human mind has known." It's known, excuse me. Noted is what I used to say as a little girl. No human mind has noted what God has prepared, these things for those who love him. So basically what I think that's what he's saying is, I sort of have paraphrased that over the years to say, you can't make this stuff up. Mm-hmm. Seriously, you can't make this stuff up. He always outshines you. He always outguesses you. He always outnews you and outhumors you and outblesses you. It's just so much fun to walk with God because he really is greater than what you can even think to ask him. So if you believe that he's never going to leave you, if you believe he's omnipresent, do you believe that the Father of your spirit longs to connect with you during your day? Do you believe that he wants to bless your eyes so that you can see him doing that? And and because he is good, I like to pray, God, let me see your goodness today. You know, that's what Moses prayed. I can model so much after that man. But he said, Lord, let me see your glory. And then God said, I'll let all my goodness pass before you. And so that's what, you know, doesn't that just change the way you do your day? Is it that you're out there looking for goodness? You're going to recognize it because God's there and he's good. So that's just right there, that's better than Prozac, I'm saying. And my testimony about this is I started asking God this early on in my journey. Once I kind of got past the point of just storing up stuff in notebooks and everything, and I realized, okay, God, wait, I want more. And I learned about that verse, and I started asking him and saying, Lord, please bless my eyes. And I'm going to just tell you, he has used some crazy stuff to let me see him at work in my life. And y'all will hear me telling some of it, but I'm going to give you a couple. One thing that he does is he repeats messages. And it's kind of like, y'all, I know this has happened to y'all. You think, okay, here we are with the rest thing again. Obviously, God's given me the message to rest because every radio show I turn on, every preacher I listen to, every Bible verse I read, every television show I watch, every bumper sticker I see, and every truck that drives by me on the highway has something to do with rest. I mean, you know how God can kind of get that through to you. I started noticing that he repeats and confirms messages. I was talking to somebody earlier about a divine appointment, and Denise shared about a divine appointment. God uses people. He speaks through people, and how I just love it when I know he has orchestrated for me to meet somebody during the day. So, anyway, that's a fun way that he's spoken to me over the years. Birds. Now, this, y'all don't have to do birds. Please don't feel tied down by the bird thing. But I'm going to tell you, I have myself, and I really, it's on my heart to do a series on the blog, and y'all can pray that God would loose my pen again. And that I could tap into my trust fund so I wouldn't have to go to work as often, and I could write the series on birds because God, I don't know, and I want to tell this example just briefly because it will help you when you get your either bird or non-bird thing, okay? When God is showing you, hey, I'm right here, I can remember seeing the redbird, and I would remember thinking, something on my insides changed. I had no words to put with that at the time. I didn't know I had a spirit. This was in the days before I knew there was such thing as a human spirit. But I could feel my spirit would leap. You know, you talk, those scriptures talk about how the spirit leaps within us. I could feel my spirit. It was a shift where my spirit responded. And I knew there was something about it, but I really couldn't put words to it. And so pay attention to that. When there's that connection, spirit-to-spirit connection, just think, okay, what, God, are you trying to tell me through this? Maybe you're just saying hello. I'm right here. Don't I make beautiful birds? That, you know, that's enough to change the temperature of my heart. Honestly, I could stop right there and be blessed by that. But I'm just going to tell you that God has taken that farther with me. So let's talk about trained eyes, because that's the second thing that we want to have. We want to have expectant eyes, and we want to have trained eyes. So let me read the scripture that I read before and add to what Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians 2. The scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12, that the Holy Spirit, basically, I'm just going to tell you what it's about to say, then I'm going to read it, that we need to let the Holy Spirit interpret for us and connect the dots for us in our spiritual vision. So here we go. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given us by God. Okay, so we want the Holy Spirit to connect the dots between the unseen, what's coming from the heart of God, to the seen. So, with the birds. And as I said before, God speaks to me in Bible verses. May not do that for you as much. I don't want y'all to leave the Bible out of this. I'm going to give you a tool and technique that I'll talk about in a minute that tells you, we want this stuff. You know, it's great to get a kiss from Jesus, but for us to be sure, for us to be standing on solid ground, it's got to be consistent with the counsel of Scripture. So I don't want anybody to ever hear me saying that God's given you something that's not in the Bible or that's not consistent with the Bible, because that's not God if it's not. Okay, so no, I'll probably say that again, because I don't want there to be any mistake about that. I believe that all his revelation is biblical. But on the bird thing, guess what God gave me to go with the birds? A Bible verse. So now I've got myself, you know, and he is really sweet. Now I've still got some, and it's kind of a fun little game me and Jesus are playing. But like I like to get outside, I like to get on the trail. So he gave me a verse for the hawk. And you know, remember we talked about, I think before the mic was on, that God uses stories and pictures. He uses symbols. He uses vision that speak to our heart. So you think about what's true in the natural, and then you take it and you make a spiritual application. So think about a hawk. A hawk is sitting there. He's a warrior. He's predator. He's strong. He is looking. And, you know, you just think, he is watching me like a hawk. You know, that everybody knows that expression. Well, there's this hawk, and I started seeing hawks. And I just, you know, I just thought, I don't know why. Oh, yeah, I do know why. I have a spirit, and I believe that's a spirit-to-spirit connection I'm having with God right now, that he's just ministering to me with this gorgeous, powerful bird. Oh, it's magnificent. And I was happy with that. I was really happy with that, and I was not twisting God's arm to say anything else, but God, if you've got something you would like for me to know about the hawk, or if there's a connection you want me to make with some truth in Scripture about the hawk, I'm wide open to that. So my eyes have gotten trained and my ears have gotten trained. And so one day, I will never forget it, I can drive to the place today where I was, this hawk, when I was walking or running, swooped, I mean, so close to me, you could just hear the rustle of its feathers. And this is the verse that came to my recollection that I had learned many years ago in Jeremiah 1:12 that says, I am watching over my word to perform it. And I thought, oh, I could die and go to heaven right this minute. That's so amazing. And I just thought, oh God, what other hope do we need besides that? That you are watching over your word to perform it, just like a hawk, just like that hawk. So every time I see a hawk, and of course I'm looking for them, which is another thing about having trained eyes. Y'all, and people will tell you that walk or run with me, or that used to run with me, I got me some blessed eyes, because A, I asked for them, and you have not because you asked not. And B, I'm expectant, I'm looking. And C, I'm trained, because you know what? I know where they hang out, and I'm going to check it out every time I drive by, and every time I walk by to see if I can see my hawk, because I kind of know where they hang. So you see, my point is you want to get to the place where you really develop letting the Holy Spirit minister to your spirit. Jesus did this. I mean, he grew in this. It says in Luke 2:40, the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then it says he grew to this place, which this would be the place that, oh, is my prayer. I would just say, like Paul, I've yet to arrive yet, but I press on toward the goal of John 5:19-20. It says, Jesus gave them this answer, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. So Jesus had him some blessed eyes. And y'all, he was bound by a human body. So I believe that he had to go through that same growth process that we do. So that is so encouraging to me that he could actually get to the place that he only did what he saw the Father doing. So let's ask for God to train our eyes. I'm going to give you sort of an example here in the book of Ezekiel that kind of is another sort of a continuum thing. Ezekiel had blessed eyes, and we're going to see how that moved him to a place of having blessed ears. The two are in tandem. They work together. And again, let me just say for the third time, to confirm this thought, that some of you, I'm going to just tell you, you're going to be more visionary and have more blessed eyes. Some of you are going to be more auditory and verbal. You're going to have more blessed ears. And the hope is that you'll grow in both of those and that those work together. Those are all the same thing, communicating with and connecting with God, okay? So watch Ezekiel, what happened for him. He says, this is Ezekiel 1:1, and then I'm going to skip to verse 26 through 28, and then I'm going to pick up my Bible for those who are listening online. This is not on your handout that you can download. So Ezekiel 1:1 says, while I was by the river Chebar among the exiles, the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. I just love that. I could just stop right there and just think about that for a long time. Because we do live under an open heaven and God does still speak in visions. So that's so exciting. And there was something resembling, he said in verse 26, this is what he saw with the eyes of his spirit. And let me just pause right here. I went to the Cove with my mom, I guess about a year ago, and I heard a wonderful guy, Erwin Lutzer, who is the Moody Bible Church teacher. Oh, he's an amazing Bible teacher. And he talked about these visions of God that the prophets in the Bible saw, and they groped to find words. That I don't believe, I mean, I believe that Moses saw the back of God in a way. I believe that John, in his revelation, saw God in a way. I believe Ezekiel saw God in a way that protected him from the actual manifest presence of God in such a way that we as humans can't. And so what he's doing is groping to express, and where she'll say it was like. It resembled. And so what God did was speak or, you know, reveal a vision. And this is what he is imparting about the reality of who his God is. Okay, so just giving you that little parenthesis there. So he saw visions of God, and in verse 26, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that, which resembled a throne, high up was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire. And there was a radiance around him as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice speaking. Can you imagine being Ezekiel? Wow. And so, did you catch that last line? First of all, he got a revelation of the glory of God, the beauty, the creativity, the holiness, the majesty. I know he must have felt love and peace in a way that few people ever did because of that experience. But so that verse would be something to meditate on and worship God for, because that's true of him, because it's written in his word. But what I wanted to point out was that Ezekiel pursued God. He set apart time. Did you catch that in verse 1? He went apart to the river, and he sat in God's presence. And when he did, God blessed his eyes, and not only did he bless his eyes, he blessed his ears. Because did you hear that? He saw visions of God, and when he saw it, he fell on his face and heard a voice speaking. Imagine that. And so I'm going to pick up my Bible now and read to you just a couple of verses about what he heard from God. In Ezekiel 2, 1 and 2, it says, "Then God said to Ezekiel, 'Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you.' As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me." And then in verse 8, it says, "Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you." And then in verse 3, verses 1 through 3, and it says, God spoke to Ezekiel again, "Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving you." Then I ate it and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. So I believe that because Ezekiel set time apart, and as he was probably a visionary with his primary gift, but then he was able to have in the presence of God to hear God speak to him, and God instructing him about how to have trained ears. Ezekiel, yeah, I've set you apart to minister to people, but let me tell you how to do that first. Listen. You need to listen to me. You need to take the words I give you, and you need to eat them, buddy. That's how you do that, from him to you. And not only do you just listen and then run off and forget, because, look, y'all, I can tell you that there's a ton of stuff that I feel like the Lord's spoken in my heart that I've already forgotten. And that's why it's so important to write it down. Because I will go back in a time when I'm reviewing and kind of seeking, you know, like, what's the pattern of God's direction in the last 6 months or a year? And I'll go, "Oh my gosh, God, that's fabulous. And I totally forgot it." But it's on the continuum with a lot of things you've been speaking, you know. So it's so important to write it down. And it's so important to chew on it. That's what he told him to do. Eat it. It's sweet. Because the more you savor it, the more depth you get. So that's all I've got time to say about that. And then I'm going to say just a few words on spiritual ears. I mentioned the tool and technique, listening to God. I believe this may be my life message, honestly, on a 2-page, squeezed in as tight as I could get it, front, back. I honestly want to tell you that I felt challenged in this thing about God still speaks. There are people who would disagree and argue and say, "Oh, wait a minute, didn't that stop when the Bible got closed?" I don't believe so, because I will tell you, let's just start with this verse, Romans 15:4. It says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." I don't think that God, he gave people dreams, he gave people visions, he spoke directly to them, he sent angels. Y'all, that wasn't just to make a great storybook. It says right here in Romans that that is so that we can know how our God interacts, our Father of our spirits interacts with his children, so that we can be encouraged and know that we can expect that too, that we can listen and we can receive his word and we can eat it and it can be sweet as honey to us too. So I'm just going to say, this handout will give you, hopefully, if you have any question marks in this, I would love to get with you, but I think the volume of scripture and the variety of scripture I have on there speaks for itself. And I can just tell you, this could have been a 6 or 8 page handout. But I tried to get it down to a scripture for each point. And I hope that will give you the confidence to go forward in your listening to God journey and grow in those spiritual ears to be more acute. I've given you references for how Jesus listened to God. I'll just read the one. He says, John 12:49-50 in the New Living, "I do not speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it, and I know his commandments lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say." And y'all, you see the pictures in Scripture of how he went out early in the morning. He took time aside from the disciples. He withdrew from the crowds, it said. And he got in the presence of God. And he bowed his knee before the Father. And he said, please speak to me, Father. I need wisdom for this human life you've given me to live. So that's how Jesus did it. And he says in John 14, 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. And then he tells us in Luke 10, 27, the promise that my sheep hear my voice. So, and then I want to close with this example from Moses. God, we said God favored Moses. I think we may have already said that, or maybe we didn't. Let's talk about that for just a minute. But we said he had the right idea because when he sought God out, he didn't just want to know, okay, so what are we doing with all these trillion of people that you want me to lead through the desert today, God? Yeah, he wanted to know God's ways. He needed to. He had to because of the job God had given him. But he said, show me your ways in Exodus 33:13. Let me know your ways that I may know you, God. His heart was to know God. And that is something that really blesses God's heart. And so let me walk you through these next three verses I have on my paper just to kind of talk to you about how important it is that Moses made the higher choice to seek the face of the Father and have relationship. It says in Exodus 20:19 and 21, the people said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God to speak with us, lest we die. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near to where God was. So you see, most people didn't want to do the work of getting quiet, of drawing apart, taking the time, getting those Israelites to be quiet, figuring out about the manna. They didn't want to have to deal with it. Moses, you just go do it. Go, buddy. You go do it, and then we'll just benefit from whatever it is you get. Okay, so listen to the next verse. Exodus 7 and 11 from the New Living says, it was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up at some distance from the camp. Do I need to say distance from the camp twice? And inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And then in Numbers 12, 6 through 8, God said, hear now my words. He's talking to a group of people. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. See, here's a verse that tells you God speaks in visions. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. So what do you think gave Moses the favor of the Lord? Do you not think it was the heart of Moses that had a heart for God? And I'm going to give you a tiny testimony. This is tiny. I'm going to try to protect the innocent and the guilty in this story. I don't know how hard this is going to be how easy or hard it'll be to be cryptic. But I have got adult children. I've got two of them. And this week, I had an opportunity to practice parenting to earthly adult children. I had two episodes. I thought this was very interesting that this happened in the same week and actually within 3-day period. On day one, I had one child contact me. They had a need. They were, trying to process this. And there were some finances involved in this need, but there was no ask. It was just, do you think this is something I need? Do you think this would help me? Can you help me think through how this would work? Let me just tell you, what do y'all think I did? I would sign up for 3 more shifts at CVS with my employer. I would sign up seriously, at the drop of a hat, to help that child. I said, baby, you know what? Your daddy and I are going to take care of this. We want to help you. Yes, you need to do this, and yes, we're going to help you. And I was approached with humility, and I gave more. I wasn't even asked for what I gave, and I did it with joy because I think I'm an okay parent. I'm not any kind of parent like my Heavenly Father. Okay, now I'm going to prove that statement to you in the second example. Okay, second child, adult child, conversation on the telephone, both of them live out of state. It was clear that this adult child really didn't want to be on the phone with me. It was clear that this adult child really didn't have time, wasn't excited, did not desire a relationship or connection in any way with their mother. But this adult child had a need too. And I'm going to just tell you, it was a different dynamic. So I wake up the next morning. The need was not mentioned, but I'm just going to tell you how this went down. So we just kind of had a disconnected conversation. And I got off the phone thinking, that was no fun whatsoever. Dink. And then I got up the next morning and I opened my inbox and I had not one but two charges from Amazon.com, which both my children have my iTunes and my Amazon account still, even though they're adults. And I'm glad I have grace to do that in most days, but this day I had no grace whatsoever. I looked at that account on Amazon.com and I thought, that one, and I went, okay, well, that child just ordering them up something. And then I opened the second email, and this was like a triple from the first one. And I went, you know, how great would it have been on the phone yesterday if I had just had the question, hey, Mom? But I didn't. And so what I saw from that, this is, I don't want to judge anybody's heart, but the message I got was this. I don't care about relationship with you, but I do want what you can give me. I honestly don't favor that. That doesn't get a lot of favor out of me. I'm going to pay the bill. I'll probably do it again if it happens because I've sort of got a little bit of a timeline that I'm working on to the point where I'm going to change my password, girls. Just, you know, it's 11:19 if anybody wants to know. Everybody knows it, you know. But I'm just saying, do you get my point? Do you get the point I'm making is that we want, like the children of Israel wanted all the benefits of being a child of God, but they didn't want to do anything. They didn't want to do anything to get the benefits. They didn't want the relationship. They just wanted the stuff. So I would just say, what's such a great way to live? To be in relationship with your Heavenly Father is so amazing. He loves you so much. And I hope we'll spend the next several weeks after our break this week, when we don't meet on October 6th, discovering whatever obstacles there are that may be in your mindset or maybe in your heart or in your emotions that might keep you from really believing that, that there's higher knowing of how much he loves you and how much he really wants to give to you and favor you in every department. I do want to challenge you this week to take some time to go over that tool and technique and just find out where your heart is, where your mind is, where your spirit is in terms of receiving spiritual eye, spiritual ear blessings, and actually having some conversations with the Lord, and challenge yourself with that, and just take some time to listen. I'm going to close with James 4, 7 through 10 in the Voice, and then I'll pray for us, and we can write our one thing. So submit yourselves to the one true God and fight against the devil and his schemes. If you do, he will run away in failure. Come close to the one true God, and he will draw near close to you. Wash your hands, you have dirtied them in sin. Cleanse your heart, because your mind is split down the middle. Your love for God on one side and selfish pursuits on the other. Lay yourself bare, face down to the ground, in humility before the Lord, and he will lift your head so you can stand tall. So, Lord, I do pray that you would cause us to stop, and that you would cause us to be still, and that you would do what you've promised to do, is send your Holy Spirit whenever we ask, because you're a good Father and you give good gifts to your children. Lord, we pray that you would cause us to really assess where we are in our desire to receive your benefits and in our desire to have a relationship with you. Father, I pray for each listener that you would increase their hunger and thirst for your righteousness, Father. I pray for spiritual ears that are so blessed that they will just be late everywhere they go this week because they're so busy listening. And I pray, Father, that they would know that to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, all that other stuff will get added to them. And I pray for blessed eyes that people would see you everywhere they go because you're there, Lord. So I pray, Father, that we would be reminded in whatever way that you want to remind us, that we would be expectant. And that, Lord, in wherever we are today, that you would train us to go higher, that you would give us greater acuity in our eyes and our ears of our spirits. And, Father, I just pray that that would just lead us to these spontaneous moments of thanksgiving and praise, that we don't have to drum them up because they're just going to be an overflow of seeing you in our day. Thank you, Lord, that that's the kind of Father you are. And I do pray that you would expand our borders and grow our spirits this week. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last James.